Thanks so much for joining us this morning for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and as I introduced our youngest son, David, and his wife, Kim, the last broadcast, we were just talking about just kind of some challenges of going to the mission field. And as we emphasize missions throughout the course of this month, you may be thinking, wow, that is a major decision. And it is. But yet, when the Lord begins to lay it on your heart, then you begin to understand, you know, God can give us wisdom and direction. But do you have second thoughts after you get there?
Sometimes you do.
That's a wicked question, isn't it?
I heard once of a missionary that went to Africa and took his family there and said that he would look in the sky every night and see the airplanes that would ride by and just think, if I could only get on one of those and go back home, how much better life would be. And I don't know that we ever got to that point, but there are many differences, and there are times where I can remember at the very beginning, David and I would fight over who was going to answer the phone. Not really fight, but the phone would ring, and we would say, you're going to answer it this time. And he would go, no, it's going to be you, because it's a little bit easier to try to communicate when you're seeing someone's body language.
Right.
When you're on the phone and you barely know a language, it's much more difficult. And so we would joke back and forth about who was going to answer the phone. And
so you weren't fighting so you could answer the phone?
No.
We didn't want to answer the phone. That was tough.
Let's try sign language.
And then there are many differences. When we moved to Brazil, I was 5 months pregnant with our second daughter, mm-hmm. Christina, and we had a 1.5-year-old. And it's very difficult because you can't do anything on your own. We had to rent a home, and we had to totally rely on our coworker to speak for us and be our mouth. We didn't have any documents, and so no one wanted to rent to us because we couldn't prove that we had any type of money to pay them.
Right.
So you have to wait for everyone to do everything for you. And so you learn a lot of patience, or you go crazy.
Right.
And then as you drive, I can remember the first few weeks that we were there, we got several tickets because we couldn't read any road signs.
7, to be exact.
7 tickets. And of course, they don't stop you.
We got them in the mail. So they were a nice surprise each time we got the tickets in the mail.
Because of all the cameras all over the place.
Sure.
Being pregnant, we'd go to the doctor, and our coworker, a male coworker, would have to go to the doctor with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the OBGYN would ask a lot of personal questions.
Yeah.
And our coworker would have to ask me those questions, and I'd have to respond back. So you learn to be a lot more open and not be such a private person. Very humbling experience. I can remember going to the grocery store, and I had to write a check. But I didn't know yet how to spell the numbers.
Oh.
And so I was afraid that I would do it wrong. So I had to ask someone to fill out the check for me. I felt like I didn't know how to write. The guy kind of looked at me a little bit strange, but filled out the check for me.
Make your X here.
Yes. It was a very difficult experience,
yeah.
Especially the first few months.
Even preaching, initially writing everything out, trying to just write it every word. And then studying that and trying to get ready to preach, first on had to speak through a translator because we didn't have the language background. And then as I began to be more comfortable speaking in Portuguese, I would still create a lot of new Portuguese words that the Brazilians would find very, very humorous. And I remember on one occasion I was just preaching away about how Jesus cared for his sheep. At least that's what I thought I was saying. There's two words that are very similar. Orelha means ear. Or ears, plural, and ovelha means sheep. And so I kept saying that Christ is caring for his, but I was saying ears. So Christ was caring for his ears, and he loves his ears. And the Brazilians just started laughing, and finally I figured out that I was saying the wrong word. And
now, did they know what you were trying to say?
I think they could figure out what I was trying to say, but
nobody would correct you, though, would they?
Well, they just wanted to laugh until I figured it out. But those things happen all the time, and it is humbling. But it's important that we understand we're just people, and that we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God, is what the Bible says, and
right.
He will lift us up.
Now, Kim, 5 months pregnant, so you get there, and you start language school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to language school together.
Yes, we actually, because we had a 1.5-year-old, the options were either we study at separate times, or we find someone to care for our 1.5-year-old. And she was at a time in her life, you know, a lot of changes, moving to a new place. We really didn't think that she would feel culture shock, but she did.
Well, nobody down there outside of your home spoke English.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
And just the cultural differences, the closeness, the hugging, all of that was new to her.
Yeah.
And so we really felt like it was a critical time in her life that she needed one of us home with her at all times. And so when we moved, David studied in the morning. He would study the morning hour. He would come home for lunch. And then I would study in the afternoon hour. We lived about 5 blocks from a metro stop.
Metro being?
The subway.
Okay.
And we were in downtown São Paulo, a city of over 20 million people. And so we'd walk about 5 blocks up to the metro stop, and then we would take the subway, which is the metro in Brazil, and we would take it all the way down to another part of the center of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would get out, and we'd have about another 10-minute walk through some of the areas of downtown until we got to language school.
Right.
So David studied in the morning, and I would study in the afternoon.
When you say study, you're saying going to language school with some other students, listening to the teacher. That's what you
meant.
Yes,
we opted to go to an actual language school instead of having a tutor.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that it would be much more helpful. It would be less likely that we would not do our work.
Right.
And it did prove to be very, very important for both of us to have invested that first year in learning the Portuguese language. I'm so thankful that we did. I had the baby and wound up missing one part of language school, but one of the teachers was gracious and over the Christmas break caught me up on what I needed to catch up on. And then my sister, who was a senior in high school at the time, decided that she would come to Brazil and take care of our two young children, our two young daughters, so that the last few weeks of language school we could study together
right.
and finish out. And so that's what she did. It was We were very grateful for that, and it was nice to be able to finish language school together.
You know, I hear so many missionary families that go, and the husband goes to language school, but the wife, for many, many different reasons, doesn't. But yet, you are a team, especially in church planting, aren't you? And you, as a wife and a lady, you have a tremendous ministry with women that if you did not speak their language, be totally lost.
It would be very difficult. I cannot imagine not having done language school.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine it. I would be much more prone to homesickness. I would be much more prone to being discontent.
Right.
Because I wouldn't be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to be able to communicate.
Right. I think, David, it was like maybe 5 months after you started language school that they needed a junior high Sunday school teacher.
The church that we're helping in suddenly lost their junior high Sunday school teacher, and so our coworker came to me and said, "Dave, I know you just started language school, but if you can fill in this gap, you know, I'm sure the teens will be patient with you." And I thought, "Oh, brother, how are we going to do this? We can barely go to the grocery store." But I found 2 books, and the same book, but in Portuguese and English. So I would study the English version throughout the week, and then use the Portuguese version to try to do like a worksheet for the teens.
Okay.
And did my best each Sunday along with Kim. She was in the class, and I hope that I taught them God's word. That was certainly my goal. They were very patient, and we did activities with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything, they could see beyond our language difficulty that we loved them, that we really desired for them to grow in God's word. And I believe that taught them a whole lot more than probably what I said or didn't say
right.
in front of the classroom.
Personal relationships. If they know you care enough to learn their language, well, that just goes a long, long way.
Oh, it sure does.
Now, after you finished language school, you began to look at areas of São Paulo to be able to start a church. You used sports. Tell us how that worked.
Well, most everyone knows that when you think of Brazil, you think either the Amazon or soccer. And soccer, or futebol is how they say it there, is important from the time a kid can walk or barely walk. They play on the streets. They close streets off for their little games. Their flip-flops become their goals. If they don't have a ball, they'll make a soccer ball out of tape or duct tape or something like that. And so we would use sports on the weekends and invite teenage boys to come and play. And sometimes we would have 8 or 14 or 18 and just play for a while, and then we would stop, and everyone would gather around I would try to give a brief presentation of the gospel and share with them what the Lord had done. And then after that, we would pick up playing soccer again. And we had several young men come to know Christ as their Savior through that ministry and just using a ball and a Bible. So God really used that.
And you had just purchased some church property, so you had a place to play.
Which, that was an answer of prayer in of itself. Sao Paulo is a huge city. Everything's so compact and houses upon houses. In fact, our coworker describes that area as a human anthill. It just looks like there's homes on top of homes. But God gave us a plot of land that had some space where we could do kind of a sand soccer area, and really was beneficial not only for the soccer ministry, but even for the children's ministry and vacation Bible school and things that offered some opportunities for the kids in the neighborhood to not just play video games or just stay on the street, but they had some structured games and structured even people that offer that structure and love that so many of them, you know, long for.
You walk down the street with a soccer ball under your arm, you'd attract attention, wouldn't you?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, we have learned here at Brookside that instead of just having Vacation Bible School every summer and that being the only outreach ministry you have for children, we've had art camp and sports camp and music camp, and it's really exciting to see folks that will come out and spend a week, you know, being trained in this area, and then, of course, having the Bible lesson that goes right along with it each day.
Those are great ideas. Yeah. That's awesome.
So we've had some folks that, you know, their parents never darkened the door of the church, but as they saw the advertisements, they thought, well, it's right here. Hey, and they're looking for something for the children to do that would be structured and a safe situation. And so sports can have a tremendous ministry. Some people make it their God, but it doesn't have to be their God.
Right.
You know, you can still use it. It's kind of like money. You can use money to gamble, or you can use money to tithe and get the gospel out.
That's right.
You know, it's a tool, and that's what it's all about. Well, we again have run out of time, but we'll pick this up again then the next time we talk. And as we see God just opening up new hearts, new lives, new homes, and as you would knock on the doors of those boys that you played soccer with, and the parents would say, oh, you're the guy with the soccer ball. The same thing is true for us, friends. Whatever God allows us to do throughout the course of our day, whomever we are crossing paths with, use these not interruptions, but intersections where God has brought people across your path for the cause of Christ, for the gospel's sake. And as you do, your life will become more meaningful than ever before. So until the next time, we trust that God will bless you in a fantastic way.